Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Connecticut is Richard Bistrong of Frontline Anti-Bribery. And we're going to be having a discussion today about international compliance challenges and both of our experiences recently in Asia. Richard, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Adam, it's great to join you again. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, why don't we start by telling us about where you just were and what you were finding as you traveled?
So, Adam, I've been on a little bit of a whirlwind tour. Recently, I had a pleasure of visiting Shanghai. I was also in Singapore and most recently in Abu Dhabi. So it's been wonderful to engage with compliance and business leadership, sometimes where risk lives, which is often in some of these regions.
Yeah, definitely a lot of risk there, and truthfully, a big span of Asia. People don't realize that the Persian Gulf states are technically a part of Asia too, geologically or geographically. I'm never sure which is the right one. That's why I went into compliance, not geology. as you talked about engaging with the leadership, what did you find that they were succeeding at and struggling with?
I think the struggle is where we have, a global compliance program, right? How does that get calibrated to a region where maybe some local practices and traditions, might be in the cross currents of some of those programs and some of those initiatives? So in a way that I found was incredibly engaging and a want for exchanging perspectives, is how do you take a global program and to have it regionally make sense to the risks which those local teams face? So that's very generally speaking what I was there to talk about. And sometimes those were in compliance workshops to talk about what that might look like from a program perspective. And sometimes, which was really interesting, it was with business leaders to sort of surface some unknowns and make some difficult issues discussable.
Yeah, and it takes a lot often to get these things discussed and out in the open. It's funny, as you're talking about this, I had such a very different experience. So the State Department has a speakers program, which I had signed up for, and they contacted me sort of late-ish October, I think it was, to see if I might be able to go to Vietnam to talk about compliance programs and the fight against corruption. And it was interesting for me, one, for the opportunity to see Vietnam, which I have to say from a tourist perspective, I highly recommend anyone go to. From a compliance perspective, it was different in that I'm used to being at conferences where I'm speaking to compliance officers. And so here the State Department arranged talks with everything from the Ho Chi Minh Academy of Politics, which is where Communist Party cadres are taught, to local universities there, to business groups. And what was really interesting to me to see was just a huge range of their understanding of compliance programs. So, for example, at one of the first talks was at a law school there, and the amount of knowledge was just remarkable, and the nuance and the questions that people were asking me really were what you'd expect at an advanced session at a conference for compliance officers. And then at the same time, I was engaging with local business peoples who are dealing with the fact that Vietnam has made enormous amounts of economic progress over the last couple of decades. But corruption has grown to be an enormous problem. The government is trying to crack down on it. But there was a lot of feelings from the sort of ground level local business people that I talked to that, look, this all sounds good. And if you're a big global company, you can avoid paying bribes. They thought maybe, but for them, it still seemed a little bit of a hopeless activity. And they were a bit mystified as to how they might be able to take a compliance program and put it into action. And it was illuminating and, you know, sometimes depressing, but it's really interesting to see firsthand, as much as we go talk to these, you know, large organizations that have built these programs and are actively involved in third-party vetting to make sure the local companies aren't paying bribes, is how much these companies really do struggle with the ability to act in a lawful way, including not paying bribes. I'm sure you probably got a taste of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. And I think you're right. There are some challenges and there's some success. I found that even for the larger size organizations that have robust, you know, and good historical programs, that the challenge then shifts to how do we succeed, right? Given market conditions, given some of the risk climate that exists, how do we make this work? What did you find in Vietnam among even some of the larger organizations?
Well, that was the thing. I didn't, unfortunately, get to really talk to big organizations there. But, you know, I don't want to make too much of the fact that they found this a very difficult problem. They were all very excited about the possibility of compliance programs and the ability to act in a way that will help prevent violations of law and corruption right. and elsewhere. And, you know, they're wrestling with other issues like data protection, privacy, like the rest of the world. Now, in terms of making things successful, before we started this formal conversation, you mentioned you'd read a couple of books that you thought would be instructive for compliance people to read to better understand, you know, how to more effectively communicate and to communicate. Sorry, it's bad when you say to communicate and you lost your way halfway through it. why don't you, if you could share a little bit about these books.
So, Adam, so these are two foundational parts of my compliance library. One of them is published by the Harvard Business Review called On Managing Across Cultures. It's part of HBR's 10 Must Reads, which sort of gives an overview of, you know, different vignettes on managing across cultures. But the book that I found incredibly helpful is called The Culture Map by Erin Meyer. And not trusting a quotation to memory, just in the introduction, she says, the sad truth is that the vast majority of managers who conduct business internationally have little understanding how culture is impacting their work and how culture is impacting how we perceive and communicate with one another. And without getting into the details, she really gives us a wonderful map of how different cultures, in a general sense, communicate, collaborate, including decision making, even the different cultural approaches to meetings. It is a fascinating book. And as you and I talked about once, for what you might lack in knowledge, a little humor goes a long way when you're going into a new culture that you might not understand as well as you'd like to. And I think for compliance leaders that are going into new parts of the world, these are really foundational reads.
Thanks. That's good to look to learn about and to look into. I have to say the good part of the international travel is the long time on planes does encourage you to take some time and read, despite the amount of bingeable video that there is there. I'd also, while we're talking about books, want to recommend Malcolm Gladwell's latest book, Talking to Strangers, which has very interesting thought of that we default to trust when dealing with other people. The problem is we tend to give other people a lot of leeway and believe them when we not necessarily should be. And I think it's definitely an admonition for those in compliance to watch even within ourselves how much we're willing to give trust to other people.
Well, thank you. I'm always looking to add to my compliance library, so I appreciate that. And just going back to your first question, as I'm thinking about it a little bit more in terms of what were some of the successes that I saw from those meetings in Asia, the biggest success is that the business and the compliance teams were talking to each other. and they were sharing, these are the risks that we face. You know, how do we lean in together as a team so that what we want to happen on the front lines of operations is actually happening? And that's not to say that there were solutions to each challenge, but I think at least 50% of it is that they're talking with each other and to each other about how to solve them together.
Yeah, and the more communication there is, the better, and the more that both sides feel as if they're on the same team, the better. Well, Richard, I'm glad we were able to catch up on one of those rare times when both of us are not traveling and both are at home. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.